Today is a day in which we honor mothers everywhere. And they do indeed deserve every honor for all the hard work that they do and have done, simply out of love. It is truly amazing when you think one day a woman becomes a mother. In many ways, it could be by giving birth. It could be through adoption. It could be by marrying someone who has children. Any way you look at it, a marvelous transformation takes place. And suddenly, a woman is a mother. But this is a day that I want to suggest to you, we should honor all women for the precious role that they play in the world. Some women are both mother and father to their children. Some women do not have children, but have provided a role model for children as teachers, community leaders, or other positions of trust. Thank you, moms. Thank you, ladies. You are all a true blessing, and we salute you today. Isn't it ironic that God himself is referred to as Mother Nature, when he instead should be honored and called our Creator? We sometimes get mixed up with how we use labels and words. For example, I wonder why it is such a compliment to tell a woman that she looks like a breath of spring, but it's not to tell her that she looks like the end of a hard winter. After all, isn't it the same thing? I wonder why it gives a woman such joy when you tell her that time stands still when you look into her face, but not to say that her face would stop a clock. Why? I wonder why people who punish a child for lying will invariably tell that same child when the phone rings, "Just say I'm not home." And I wonder why when the preacher says, "In closing," he doesn't. I wonder why a speaker who needs no introduction is going to get one anyway. It just seems very curious to me. There are many things in this world that can cause us to wonder, but one of the most incredible is that God himself would want to call us his friends. In today's Holy Gospel, in John 15:14-15, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from the Father I have made known to you." The fact that Jesus would call us his friends somehow defies the imagination. One of the biggest reasons as it's difficult to imagine this is because of what we find written in Romans 5:6-8. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And yet, Bible's most famous and most potent scripture, John 3:16, tells us, "For God so..." Very good. "Love the world." And that's you and me. I'd like to suggest to you today that we change it just a bit. Oh, we're not changing the word of God. We're just changing the world to me. And that means each one of us. "For God so loved me that he gave his only son so that I who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life." Have you ever thought of that scripture in that way? "For God so loved George and Jeanette and Colin and each one of your names plugged in." This is serious. This is a personal, a truly personal gift that Jesus willingly gave to each one of us. And only you can choose to accept it or not. It is by far the greatest treasure any of us will ever receive from the best friend any of us could ever know. You need to understand the context of where and why Jesus is saying the words that we heard today's gospel. He was speaking to his disciples spoken on the night before his death and crucifixion. In that upper room, Jesus never considered his disciples as slaves who simply get ordered around, but instead he was sharing with those he loves, his friends, and ultimately with us, his hopes and his plans. The Greek word for friend is philoi. It's closely related to the word for love, phileo. Now, you may know that as a type of cream cheese or a city that was in the Near East, but also in our country, was founded on brotherly love, Philadelphia. It's closely related to the word of love. And it delivers a greater sense of intimacy than our own modern-day word for friend. Jesus has shared with them everything. He showed them everything he was and everything he could do. Everything he heard from his Father. And we can see the disciples fulfilling the ideal of Abraham and Moses. Abraham was called God's friend. And God shared his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah with him. Moses was also God's friend, and he, like the disciples, would speak to the face of God. And all that belongs to the Father belongs to Jesus. He has passed on to his disciples, his friends. There's nothing more to be known about the Father apart from Jesus and his resurrection. Jesus said it himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And through him, his followers, his friends, will bear much fruit, and thereby bringing glory to God the Father. In John 15:13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." The symbol of the cross is so important to our relationship with God that it's even used for marriage. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." There's no greater love that we can show to one another than to sacrifice for them. Jesus said in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last." Think of the significance. You're not here today because it's Mother's Day or it's a thing to do on Sunday. You're here today because God spoke to you, to your inner being, to your spirit, and said, "You belong to me. You are my friend." And that's important to know. Here is Jesus reminding us that the Lord of the universe thinks that each one of us here are so precious and so special that he considers us not only family, but dear chosen friends. You know, we can't choose our relatives, but we can choose our friends. He chooses us because he loves us and wants to spend eternity with us, and that's why he gave himself for us. In choosing us, God chose to give us life, eternal life, with him. That's why the resurrection naturally follows Christ's crucifixion. God could have said, "Oh, I think I'll wait till the end of time to raise Jesus from the dead," but he didn't. In his resurrection, Jesus provided the hope to all mankind that he is just who he says he is, and that his word is truth. Faith in him as Lord in our lives means that we too will rise again. If we recognize that we are sinners and ask him to transform us to be more like him, that's all we need to do. You may have heard me say several times before in sermons, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Friends don't force themselves on one another, for forcing yourself on another is not friendship at all. God would never force himself upon anyone. And that's why he gives us the choice to respond to his choosing of us, to be his friend, to be in relationship with him, to be his church, the bride of Christ. True love is beautiful. It's not forced. It follows God's plan from the beginning of time, as we read in scriptures. True love means recognizing our sins and that those sins can separate us from the Lord. What's our response? That, my friends, is our choice, to repent or not. Brings to mind one of my most loved, beloved scriptures, Revelation 3:20. And it goes along with an awesome painting. A painting of Jesus Christ standing outside a door that contains no handle. And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever answers, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me." We need to invite him in. Now, it doesn't mean that God couldn't go through the door. Jesus couldn't just walk through that door supernaturally. But what I just said, he doesn't force himself in or onto anyone. He's a gentleman. Noted British Anglican author C.S. Lewis, who I've spoken about many times, defined friendship as this. Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, "What? You too? I thought I was the only one." A friend is one who knows his own shortcomings. You see, there were two men who were out hunting in the northern part of the U.S. Suddenly, one man yelled to the other to look up and see a big old grizzly bear charging towards them. The first man started to frantically put on his tennis shoes, and his friend said, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" And he calmly replied, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly. I just have to outrun you." The cross is a symbol of what Jesus desires of us. Listen to these words from today's Holy Gospel. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The obedience that Jesus displayed going to the cross is an example for us to follow as we strive to follow and obey what Jesus asks of us. And that means that we're not just to study and learn the gospel, but we are to integrate what it says into our daily lives, into our very beings. Don't just talk the talk, but we are to walk the walk, to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no act that we can do that can impress others as much as the gift of self. No other act or kind of act will bring others to the cross of Christ, who sacrificed himself for each one of us. Jesus wants us to respond in our own way to the shining example that his disciples laid out for us. We can see the evidence in the Acts of the Apostles. They were firsthand eyewitnesses of Jesus' love, evidenced by his healings, his preaching, his miracles, his death on the cross, and his compassion for those he loved. The disciples had seen firsthand how Jesus responded to his friends by amazing reaction to the news that his friend Lazarus had died. The gospel tells us that Jesus began to weep. Now, we all know how Jesus raised him from the dead, telling him, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus' love for his friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, gives us a foretaste of the incredible love that he would display for us, those he called his friends, with his suffering and death on the cross, for the sins and transgressions of us. Our debt was paid by him. His friends, mere sinners. Our relationship with Jesus is one of love, loyalty, and obedience, grateful obedience, to the one who has loved us more than we can begin to imagine. The test of that love, loyalty, and obedience remains the simple, profound, dangerous, and difficult command: love one another as I have loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.